The Olympic Games can be thrilling to watch, but they can be a little frustrating for us news producers, even though you may not know it. The big networks make it super prohibitive to rebroadcast any of the actual color from the events. That means the sights and sounds from inside Olympic venues are all strictly off limits. And it's why we focus on the stuff happening on the sidelines, which frankly is often just as compelling. We've been lucky to have reporter Jason Strother in South Korea giving us some sideways glances during these Winter Games. Jason just watched South Korea go up against Japan in women's curling, and I know he's dying to tell us who won. That'll be in a few minutes. So there's your spoiler alert, curling fans, you've been warned. Jason joins us once again from Seoul ahead of Sunday's closing ceremony. So when the games began 2 weeks ago, Jason, we heard a lot about the diplomatic implications here. After all, Pyeongchang, South Korea, it's just 50 miles from the border with North Korea. The North Koreans did agree to take part in the games. There was the United Korean hockey team and so on. But how has this all played out?
Right. Well, I mean, if the hope was to get South Koreans more interested in reunification with North Korea or let go some of their hang-ups about their northern brethren, that probably hasn't worked. We have to remember that even though South Koreans were waving the unified flag during many of the games, the majority of South Korean youths, they don't want unification. They're not interested in it. And once these games are over, I think most South Koreans will go back to their normal apathetic views toward the North.
And even amid all the pomp and circumstance and some of these warm, fuzzy moments, there are some South Koreans now unhappy about one plan for a certain participant in the closing ceremony. Tell us about that.
Right. So North Korea is dispatching General Kim Yong-chol. He's a man who wears many hats. And some conservative politicians here say that he is the man who oversaw two attacks in 2010, the sinking of the Chonan naval ship, which killed 46 South Korean sailors, as well as the shelling of Yongpyeong Island, which killed four South Koreans.
And meantime, the United States is sending Ivanka Trump. What are people saying about that in Seoul?
Right. Well, she just had dinner at the presidential Blue House with President Moon Jae-in. But not everyone was so excited about her arrival here in South Korea. I was checking out some comments on social media, and some South Koreans took offense to her saying that she's here to reaffirm the U.S.-South Korea alliance, because lately the U.S. is threatening to slap all sorts of tariffs on South Korean products. GM is potentially closing down a plant here in South Korea, and the U.S. is in the process of renegotiating the South Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement.
Let's leave the politics aside because, hey, the Olympics are also about sports, I think.
And let me tell you, Marco, Ivanka Trump's visit here was completely overshadowed by the Garlic Girls, South Korea's women's curling team.
Yeah, so let's get on the sports. It sounds like that is a big highlight. And why are they called the Garlic Girls?
I'm just coming down off the buzz right now. I just watched a nail-biting match between the Garlic Girls and Japan's women's curling team. And the South Koreans won 8-7, and now they're going to the championship this weekend. They're called the Garlic Girls because they come from a part of the country that was famous for its garlic, but now it's famous for curling, which was a sport that was pretty much unheard of before the Pyeongchang Games.
Jason Strother, speaking with us from Seoul. Thanks, as always, Jason. It's been really great.
Thanks a lot, Marco.